I've been listening to you since you came on the air way back when.
Tonight from the world-famous Allstate Showcase Studio in Chicago, Illinois, it's Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. On tonight's show, we have comedian Paul Farvar celebrating their anniversary, chef and owner Shelly Young from Chicago's The Chopping Block. And it's New Music Monday with The Bingers. And now to start your week off right, here is Patty Vasquez.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. The Bingers. Is it Bingers? Bingers. It looks like Bingers. Now I feel like I'm outside of the Wonders. The Oneiders? Is it the Oneiders? I'm the worst. Can we go back? Can you start the show all over again, Michael, please?
I'll just cue it up.
The Bingers are going to be.
The Bingers.
They're setting up in the studio. We've got all kinds of equipment loading in. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar. Paul, I'm a little bit off tonight. I had to spend the last 6 hours in an emergency room with a family member who I'm not going to disclose because they asked me not to discuss who it was personally. But I don't know if you've been in an emergency room lately, especially apparently Monday is a very aggressively busy time of the week at an emergency room. And you know what's always great is when a nurse tells you, man, if you'd just been here yesterday, you know, people were just getting right in. And I'm like, you know what you can't schedule? Your visits to the emergency room!
Yeah.
Sorry, was that? Did everybody hear that out of my head?
I heard it. That doesn't make sense. I would think Sunday's more busy with activities.
I don't think people want to go to work on Monday. So they were all in my way. You know what I also found out is that if you come in screaming like a crazy person, you go right to the front of the line.
Yeah.
If you call people names, especially racially loaded ones, you go right to the front of that line. And then you also get a police escort for the rest of your stay. So I was trying to figure out like what's the line I got to cross here to like just get to the front of the line
without
and not
an
be
escort.
Tased. Yes.
Yeah.
What's the drawing line? This is gonna. I want to know what where the bar is.
I think it changes every day of the week. Probably Monday. It's probably a little less.
Yeah. The cops are there. Toot sweet.
Yeah.
As they say.
They're not as busy.
Have you ever said toot sweet?
I'm gonna
need
never
to,
heard it.
I'm gonna
used
need
in
to
a
say.
Sentence.
I'm gonna just say toot sweet as often as possible this week. It's your the code word for you. Code
toot,
phrase. Toot sweet. I believe it means quickly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was a Twitter reference. Okay.
No, that would be tweet tweet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's totally
I
different
got it.
Thing. Yeah, I and there's a moment where because the patient that I was with, my family member, who I hope is okay, I had to leave my family member alone at the hospital because they still had not been able to determine anything and were not able to release the patient to my custody. So I had to make a I didn't know if I should call off work or leave the patient there. I'm a little stressed. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Michael, don't I seem fine? Doesn't this seem like a totally everyday Patty Vasquez?
You seem great.
Yes, excellent. I'm not stressed at all.
No, not at all. I can't tell.
But the doctor and the nurse that were taking care of the patient were excellent. They were very kind. The other thing that's disturbing is I've never seen this. Esmeralda, have you ever seen in a in the waiting room?
Mm-hmm.
What they do is now at this hospital is they take you back, you know, according to severity, necessity. I'm guessing open wounds go first. They told me that people roll up in an ambulance, they're going to be taken first, as I learned. People yelling obscenities and
are escorted
by the police and the front of the line. But what they do is they triage some of the people, meaning they take their information, they gauge where they are, they put them in a gown, and then they send them back into the waiting room. Excuse me, in a gown.
With the ones with the butts hanging out?
Yes!
Ugh.
You can keep your pants on.
Oh, you can keep pants on?
You can keep your pants on. But they're the top half of them is in an open back gown.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are now wearing masks. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm sure that's completely safe.
What if it doesn't? What if the problem is your bottom half?
Right.
And not your top?
That's a good question.
And you can't wear pants.
You can't wear pants.
So then you're hanging with your butt hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Huh.
Been there, done that.
Do you want to thank the folks with your butt hanging out?
No, I was just going to say that's just not very fortunate.
We're going to talk about your mermaid man experience later, Michael. But your everything looked fine in a mermaid tail, just so you know.
People who don't know what you're talking about are very confused right
now.
You know what? I will post the photo of our entire group in our mermaid regalia.
I do recall now seeing mermaid pictures.
But yes, but you didn't
see
Michael.
There.
Michael looked excellent in his mermaid tail.
It was censored, actually, on the WGN radio site.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm.
No, it was not. I was going to say, I think video is to follow soon. I
can't wait.
Yes. Who knew that after the exquisite afternoon that I spent with our WGN friends and family that I would spend today? it's like karma. Yesterday, spectacular. You know what I forgot to bring you? Yesterday, I was having so much fun. I stopped in Bridgeport and picked up, I put them in. Yeah, I did. I for reals did. And they were just, I had a bag of cinnamon and glazed front room donuts for you. And they're sitting on my kitchen counter because I could not get home to pick them up for you. I can't even believe that happened to you. I'm so sorry that happened to you. No, it specifically
is
happening.
How dare you forget those donuts?
And then bring it up.
And because
it's okay. I'm on a no diet.
No donut diet. I think we should all be on a no diet.
No donut diet.
Esmeralda, no diet diet for you?
Yeah, all the time.
No diet diet for me.
No, I stopped
Michael,
eating the donuts.
Michael, no diet diet for you?
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. How often do you eat donuts, Paul, that you have to consciously say no more donuts?
As of Sunday, zero. Which is 24 hours now.
What donut did you have yesterday?
I didn't have one yesterday, but when I was in Arizona this weekend.
Shoot, I have to get a break. More after this on 720 nope. WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And I was very vaguely discussing an emergency room visit with a family member, and they were still in the hospital. And I took a break because I just got a call that they're staying, that there isn't too much concern for worry, but that the hospital wanted to keep them overnight for observation. And that's always weird. You always hear the overnight for observation, right, Paul? Mm-hmm. Do you ever hear that? And you're like,
I have.
What are you observing? I'm hoping it's just so that the patient can rest. I like that. Just get some rest. Just don't worry about, like, little clean. I could use a night in a hospital. Like for no, to just be observed.
I don't think you'd like that. Have you spent many nights?
Yes, I have. Well, I have. I had spent a week in the hospital when I was, this is so stupid. I didn't enjoy it, but there was something kind of, for a week in the hospital, I had my appendix ruptured when I was 12 years old. And, you know, I went into shock during surgery and mm-hmm. stuff. My fever went up to 100 and ridiculous, like 106.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Do you know what? I actually was in the hospital at the same time as a classmate. And it was one of those things, you know, when people, Esmeralda, worry about going down like celebrities are worried about going down in an airplane with someone who's more famous than them. Like, I kind of had the same experience with, let's call her Carrie, because that was her name. She was in the hospital we were 12. She was in the hospital with ovarian cysts. I'm like, really? You got to one-up me? We're in the hospital.
Yeah, but you got a wicked scar, right?
I had a wicked scar.
Who was more popular?
I don't know about that. I don't know about popular. I wasn't very popular. I was kind of a dork in grade school. I know it's hard
so
to believe. Carrie had other issues. She had anger. Well, I had anger management issues, too. We both had anger management issues. Although Carrie once threw me down on the floor of the girls' locker room, sat on me.
Huh.
So that was fun for me. Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah. Is it Monday night yet?
It feels like it now.
What have you been up to?
I just got into town, so.
Where were you?
24 hours in
the hotel. You went to spring training for the Cubs.
Yeah.
I hate you.
I was in Arizona. It was really fun, from what I recall.
Tell us about it. What do you mean, from what you recall? You're not a drinker.
I was this weekend.
You were?
Yeah.
You decided to partake?
Yeah, every night. So my body's
What does a Paul Farvar partake in when he's out?
I was drinking Jameson and ginger ale at the bar.
That's tasty.
At the games, we were drinking Bloody Marys. Mm. So
Bloody Marys at the games?
Yeah, I don't drink beer. I get tired, so.
And Bloody Mary is a real pick-me-up kind of a situation.
Well, that also gets rid of the hangover from the night before.
All right,
what kind of accoutrements were on these Bloody Marys?
I like the word she used.
There were olives and limes because it was a stadium. So
you're not getting like...
Yeah.
You're not getting plastic half cups. A ham hock in there?
No.
Some places do it up. Esmeralda has seen some exquisite
Bloody Marys.
Well, I would expect because the stadiums, like they're going big now with everything. Mm-hmm.
Not the one that we went to.
Spring training is almost like minor league stadiums, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like big business now in Arizona. So all the stadiums that when I used to go like 10 years ago were really small. Now they're like regular sized stadiums. They're pretty big.
Really?
Some of them are. Yeah.
How many times have you been to spring training for the Cubs?
This is my 11th year.
11th. Now, were you there yesterday? Didn't they win like 20?
I wasn't at that game because we were too.
Don't say it. You were too hungover for the complete.
It doesn't matter. I mean, we had more fun on Sunday where we were, so it's okay.
Where were you?
We were at the pool.
Okay,
and,
I can see that.
There was a party going on.
That's Esmeralda. I can see that as being a reason for missing.
Don't they play it on a radio or anything?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can just listen to it.
Yeah, but they're there for.
I was so sunburned after like the second day. I was like, I'm okay. But
you sunburn?
Yeah, I usually don't, but I did this time.
Okay, I'm just saying as somebody who is,
I'm not darker. Yeah,
we're a little bit darker. I'm not as you're a little darker skin than I am. I tend not to burn.
Just on one arm.
Just one arm.
I apparently fell asleep on the side, but yeah.
All right, then.
I don't remember.
Are you okay, Paul?
Yeah, I'm back together now.
All right, if you say so. When did you get back?
1:40 in the morning last night.
Oh my. 1:40 in the morning this morning.
Yeah.
Michael, I got a text. Esmeralda got a text from Paul the day he flew out to Arizona. He was flying out to Arizona. Very angry, belligerent text that thanks to me, he had gotten to the airport an hour and a half early.
Yeah, good. That's that's even two. No.
It was a waste of time.
You got to go even earlier. Mm-hmm. I usually do two.
Yeah, I do.
You know what? My friend was the same way coming back. We were there so early and we had to leave the pool party. I was not happy about it. I was like, we could have been in the sun for another hour.
He's got a good point about pool party. You never want to leave a pool party too early to come back to Chicago.
True, you do have a great base tan,
you
Paul.
Do. Ooh, yeah. Base tan. He's right. Good. Lay that coat down. Something to build on.
Wait, but is his arm unfortunately darker than the rest of
him? I only see one arm, so the one arm looks pretty good.
You can't sunburn and then be fine the next day. By the way, Violetta was worried about peeling. She wouldn't get into the pool because she was worried about peeling, and then she got in the pool anyway. Because she was also overly sunned from her week in Mexico.
She's a trooper.
She was a trooper. She was a trooper in the sense that she was not mermaided out, but decided to videotape all of us. She has a teeny tight little body. And I'm going to tell you, as a mother too, that was a little tough for me. I was like, you know what? Why don't you put that tail on? That's all weird conversation.
Can we hear about this mermaid thing? Because I don't know what's going on.
Well, first let me just say that.
We're going to tease it all night?
Yes, we're going to tease it all night, actually. We're going to keep teasing it. We're talking about Mike in a mermaid tail. He was a merman. So did Justin Kaufman talk about his mermaid experience? Did anyone get a chance to... He did not, did he? Because he had the Blackhawks game, and he didn't even talk about being a mermaid.
That's right.
His friends on his face. Go ahead and look on Justin Kaufman's Facebook page, and some of his friends are saying things like, "I can't unsee that," and other people are delighted by his comfort level as a man in a pink mermaid tail.
He has the gusto, you know. He can really rock it. Yeah.
Well, you guys were even arm wrestling. There was a merman arm wrestle off on the deck. Yeah.
I bet that's the first time that sentence has ever been said.
And that's probably proper. Now, I am flying out tomorrow morning to El Paso, Texas. I'll be joining the DOD, actually. That works out very fine.
Yeah.
The Department of Defense Wounded Warrior Games. I'm going down to Fort Bliss, and I'm traveling with Commander Wells with the United States Navy. And he asked me, he called me today. Now, I kind of felt like Paul in the situation, right? He goes, "Are you checking a bag?" And I was like, because of the gear, you know, I have to take a Comrex in order to broadcast from Texas is going to take up half my bag. He goes, "Okay, so you don't need to check a bag." And I was like, but I was thinking I would, you know, put the rest of my clothes in a checked bag. And he goes, "You sure about that?"
You're traveling with a person from the military, though. They're used to carrying one bag and then getting ready to go, like, in 2 seconds.
It sounds as though he is wearing his civvies and bringing his uniform, and that's going to be it, was actually what he told me, was that he's just bringing a change of clothing. And I was like, I'm a girl. I don't know how many. I have bags of really important utilitarian elements to my travel. There's a makeup bag. I have a DOP kit with all the things that could possibly go medically wrong while I'm traveling.
DOP kit?
A DOP
kit.
Wow. Yes. The DOP kit.
DOP?
Is it DOP? I don't know if it's a D or is it DOP or DOB? A DOP kit.
You down with DOB?
Down with DOB. Am I making sense?
I don't know what either of those
312-981-7200. It's basically like a little, like a medicine kit.
Well, you are saying it with...
DOP kit.
With...
Sounds like docket.
No,
but you sound like it actually is that.
Yeah.
So I believe you.
Excellent.
Whatever it is.
Esmeralda for the win.
I'm like, okay.
Because I sound committed.
She said tweet like 20 minutes
ago. Toot sweet. Oh, you know what? We'll be back. Toot sweet. More to this on 720 WGN. And there's no place that you could go. I'll chop you down. I'll cut you up. I'll make you go. I'll chop you down. I know I'm getting to your head. I'll chop you down. Keep me around. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Comedian Paul Farvar and I are joined by chef and owner Shelley Young from The Chopping Block. She's celebrating her 20th anniversary on April 1st with a lot of really wonderful activities planned. Hello, Shelley. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, I'm already dazzled by your date stuff with chorizo wrapped in bacon and the asparagus with prosciutto.
Yes.
Oh, it absolutely is. Come closer to your microphone because we want to be able to hear about all these delectable treats that you have.
Yeah.
So where are you from originally?
I'm from Iowa originally. Little town in Iowa.
Called?
Fort Dodge.
Oh, I've been to Fort Dodge.
Have you?
I've performed stand-up comedy all over Iowa.
Yeah.
So I've been to Council Bluffs.
It is the fifth largest city in Iowa. It's, you know, it's kind of a happening place. Really.
Right. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
if there is a bar with a dance floor, they put up a comedy club one night. And,
yeah,
and I'm sure absolutely. That someday Paul will be there as well.
I've been there, but not to Fort Dodge. Dodge. I've been to Marshalltown.
There you go.
Oh, so. Marshalltown, yes.
That's the eighth largest town.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, probably.
What brought you to Chicago?
Well, you know, I lived in San Diego prior to Chicago, and that's a very long story. I didn't really move here.
I want that one.
Yeah, I say I'm still actually a San Diego resident who accidentally ended up in Chicago, and I just haven't got back to San Diego yet. So
20 years later. What was your upbringing like in Fort Dodge, Iowa, that you know, led you to cuisine?
I grew up on a homestead, really. We grew everything we ate. I used to sell sweet corn on the street corners and go over to my grandparents' house and pit cherries and go up the hill and trade vegetables with the woman up there who had chickens, and we'd kill
what?
Chickens and get eggs and things like that. Mm-hmm.
The real deal.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like this in real life.
Yeah, we didn't really go to the grocery store.
That's amazing.
We had to go to Iowa.
Everything we ate. San Diego? Were poor was primarily the reason. There wasn't really a lot of romantic notion about it. When I started canning, you know, after my mother, we moved into town, and my mother and father, you know, got a better job. And so, you know, we didn't have to do all that anymore. And when I started canning and getting fascinated with that, my mother thought I was nuts. You know, she thought, well, why would you do that? You can buy all of this.
Like steps backwards.
Yeah, exactly. But it's, I enjoy it, and I think it's great.
Well, there's something pure about it. I've never canned anything in my life. Mm-hmm. It's a little daunting. So I just, do you remember what were some of the first things you canned?
Well, the very first things are jam. You know, that's just easy breezy, you know, sugar, fruit, a little pectin, and the canning process is really simple. So that's where I started. But, you know, meat is something that we used to can growing up, and that's something I've been fascinated with. It's really delicious and a great way to preserve your protein. But they call it potted meat, or if you want to get fancy, like confit. If you've ever heard of duck confit, that's basically how you make it, is, you know, preserving meat in its own juices and fat.
And how long can you store confit?
Oh, you know, probably a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sort of have this, you know, whether it's canning tomatoes or, you know, I used to have a garden. I haven't, since my kids, I haven't really done as much gardening as I had intended to. I used to have all kinds of goals and dreams, but I had herbs and I had arugula and tomatoes and all of that, but that's all gone to the wayside.
That's one of my gifts to me for myself for my 20th year anniversary for the Chopping Block, is that I'm, you know, bought a property up in Michigan, and we're building out an innovation center up there. It's not going to be open to the public, but it's where I'll do stuff like that and start to document and film and record some of those kinds of techniques and some of those old skills that we used to do a lot, but now people don't really know how to do. And I'll be learning and how to do it on another level as well, because I don't really know, or how to make prosciutto, or we're building a cheese cave there and a charcuterie cave and like that.
Did you have a meat cellar growing up when you said
no? Okay. No, we did not.
Like a salt room, right? Would be.
Yeah, we did not. We didn't have animals, so.
No. But you did have just. But we were fascinated by the chickens.
Yes, I know. The lady up the chill had the. Up the hill had the chickens, so that's where we would go to get the eggs and everything. We would trade with them. Mm-hmm. Or my mother would go up and help her kill chickens. It's funny, my mother, I called her, it was a couple years ago, somebody called me and asked me how to clean and kill a chicken. You know, we get questions like this at the school. And I said, well, you know, I only can remember for when I'm 5. I better ask my mom, because my recollection might be a little bit, you know, faded. So I called my mom, and I have one of my favorite documentations is this, my mom's story of how to kill a chicken, which I won't, recount right now.
Why not?
But, well,
Esmeralda, are you kind of curious or no?
I kind of have.
It's not so gruesome as all of that, but.
Well, all I know is that my son just showed me a picture of a chicken that lived without its head for like a year or something. It was like a documentation of that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, I'll have to pull up the picture for you. I don't know. It's just a very strange photo. But I love that you know, have people reaching out to you as an expert, because there are people in the Chicagoland area. Chicken coops are very popular these days in the area.
Yeah, we get all kinds of inquiries and, you know, over the years. A lot of it has to do with, you know, just basic cooking techniques. But, you know, sometimes we get some fun, obscure ones, too.
And when did you so you were in Iowa and you have this, you know, this upbringing that doesn't seem so glamorous, but yet has led you down this path of teaching others and sharing so much of your skill. So what brought you to San Diego first?
Well, San Diego, I'm kind of a spontaneous person. So what brought me there was my car, essentially. I went for a vacation. I was like, this is great. I left my job and moved the next week. I had been, you know, living in Iowa. I thought, I'd try San Diego for a little bit. And then when I left San Diego, really what I was doing, I do a lot of hiking and camping. Mm-hmm. And I love Americana and the, you know, driving the country. So I was just driving and hiking and going everywhere I could possibly go. But I could only get so far from San Diego because you're in, you know, the southwest part, most southern part of the country, mm-hmm. southwest part of the country. So I couldn't really get to the East Coast. So I decided to quit my job. And I lived in my car for about 8 months and hiked and camped on the West Coast. And I was actually on my way back to San Diego to open up a restaurant company that I had created while I was on this trip. And ended up with a job offer in Chicago on the way back. And I had $350 left for my trip to start my restaurant company. And so I thought perhaps I needed a job. And so, you know, I ended up staying in Chicago and I used it as a home base. I didn't plan on moving here. I ended up here because I used to work with a woman named Rosie Daly, who was Oprah Winfrey's chef, one of her first people who she kind of launched their careers. And I used to work with Rosie. And so Rosie said, hey, I'm looking for somebody to come to, this agency is looking for somebody who's a private chef and would work with somebody like Oprah. And I wanted to recommend you. And I thought, well, I'll interview with this agency. So I used Chicago as a home base. And then I interviewed around the country. I had all kinds of really cool job offers. But I ended up here in Chicago. And I thought I'd be here for a couple years.
And here you are 20 years later?
22 years later.
So in 2 years in is when you opened the Chopping Block.
I ended up here. Yeah. So I ended up, I took a part-time job at a restaurant, ended up becoming the head chef. Then I was a full-time private chef. So I did both of those. Then I opened the Chopping Block while I was doing that. Wow. And just because they were, just interesting. If something interests me, I just try to find a way to do it. So,
as a personal chef, were you working for, how many clients did you have?
I worked for two clients. Oh. They were good friends, and so they shared me is how it went.
There you go.
Yes.
I've always wondered there are two things I would love to be able to afford, a private chef and a chauffeur.
Yeah,
I like driving, but I don't have any food in my house, so I think the other thing sounds chef. Really good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
What do you think about all these new developments with the subscriptions to like Blue Apron and these companies that send you a box of food? You know, like elements.
I like to say if it gets you cooking, I'm all for it.
Okay.
So if it works for somebody, I think it's great. So right, I don't particularly love chopped garlic in a jar, but if you're not going to chop garlic and make a dish because of that, then use the chopped garlic. Do what you have to do to get yourself cooking. Everybody's different.
I can't use jarred garlic.
I don't care for it. But
well, it's so pungent. I mean, it's not just obviously garlic by its very nature is pungent. But but the taste is wrong in a jar. It's not wrong. I mean, like, if you're gonna cook, you're right.
Well,
play.
When we interview our chef instructors, part of the interview process is they have to do a demonstration for us.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they don't quite know how to do it yet, but we some of the things we look for is their approachability. And there's really not many chefs that would come in and say, oh yeah, sure, go ahead and use jar garlic. But it's something we have to train people because you never know where somebody's coming from.
Right.
And I use an example where, you know, when somebody's in a class, I remember this was a true example. One of my students said, you know, can I use the jarred garlic? She said, I'm breastfeeding. And I really don't like when my hands smell like garlic and I'm holding my baby.
Huh. Okay.
And I thought, well, heck, you know, I never would have thought of that in a million years. But it was a very good reason why I wouldn't want my hands to smell like garlic. It's either garlic either. So I always think that
I'm trying to think.
You never know where people are coming from. So I don't like to put up the barriers.
I've never bought any garlic. I've bought garlic salt. Uh-huh. Is that like a lower than jar? Or is that kind of like the top tier, right? That's like better than garlic.
Well, it goes in Bloody Marys really well. So I think you can't. It has to be pretty good.
There's a purpose for it, what she's saying.
It has purpose.
How about I put it in like the soups that I make. And by soup, I mean ramen noodles.
Can I help you chop some garlic?
I don't have any food in my house ever.
You know what actually changed me for like really being able to be comfortable? Because like, garlic is one of those things where there are two things. The movie Goodfellas, where he's cutting garlic very thinly.
With the razor blade. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I love that change. And I every time I'm trying to make thin slices of garlic, I always think of Goodfellas.
I think of it too. It's so funny you say that. I love that scene.
But also, and this will be, I don't know if this is silly, because before she was another creation of Oprah Winfrey's, Rachel Ray, I learned how to smash the clove to get the peel off. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped me a little bit too with like being comfortable with different ways of handling garlic. Yeah. So I have the aspiration of the razor thin slices. You remember Goodfellas?
I know the scene you're talking about.
Yeah. Those are the two things that I always think of.
But I've never cut garlic in my life. So.
What?
I mean, there's probably things that
Shelley,
I've done.
What do we do? What do you do with someone who's never cut garlic before?
Well, you know what? We do on our website.
Make them watch Goodfellas.
On the choppingblock.com, we do have resources links. So we have a lot of videos. And those kinds of videos are very helpful for people because there's one thing to like open up a copy of, you know, Bon Appetit and look at a recipe of how to make paella. And it says, oh, clean the mussels. And you think, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, to clean the outside
and clean
of the
shrimp. Yeah. I don't know what that means. And even the garlic or just those basic skills. So we have a video library that has those little mini techniques, which is really helpful. So especially if you do it rarely, you can just go on there. Yeah, or never. You can go on there and see how to do that really
or
quickly.
I'm guessing there are some classes you can also take at the Chopping Block.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We are hanging out with the remarkable Shelley Young, who is the owner and chef at the Chopping Block, celebrating her 20th anniversary on Saturday, April 1st from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Lincoln Square and April 8th at the Merchandise Mart. Both events are free, open to the public, all kinds of events, including cooking classes from current and the alumni of the Chopping Block, and some of their favorite dishes, wine and cocktails, games, giveaways, and some discounts to enjoy. More when we come back. We've got some wonderful treats, and I believe you have a martini shaker. We have a cocktail
here.
I know. I'm like, what's happening with the? Where's the cocktail? All right, more when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar as we help Shelley Young, the owner and chef and owner of the Chopping Block, celebrate her 20th anniversary, April 1st. She's celebrating at her Lincoln Square destination, which has actually only been there for 14 years. Is that right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You started at the Merchandise Mart.
Well, the Merchandise Mart is actually newer than that. Our original location was in Lincoln Park.
Okay.
And that one we moved to the Merchandise Mart. So it's not around anymore, the original location.
That was on Webster, right?
On Webster.
Yeah, I lived in Wayne. Right down the street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. So when you opened the Chopping Block, what was your plan?
Well, actually, my plan was to try to get my parents to open an antique store up here. This is what happened.
Okay. You know what? That's going to be an answer I never would have thought I was going to get.
No.
I love that answer.
No. I ended up in Chicago, and I was a full-time private chef, and I was a full-time chef in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I'm from Iowa originally, and as I mentioned earlier, and my parents had an antique store, and it wasn't going so well. And I said, oh, you should open up a place up in Chicago. I'll help you. They said, no, we're not really interested. And I said, oh, sure you are. And they said, no, we're not really interested. And I said, okay, yeah, sure you are. So I started looking for a location. And I found a location. I started negotiating the lease. And I said again to my parents, okay, well, we have a place. We're all set. They said, well, no, we're not doing that.
It's like pushy kids.
I know.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to help out. But
she knew what their strengths were, and she wanted to be close to them.
So anyway, they said no. They really meant, and then I realized they really meant no, and I had already negotiated the lease, and I thought it was a really neat property. And so I thought, well, heck, I'll just do something. And so I created Chopping Block. So I didn't really create it out of a lifelong dream to create a cooking school. But I had already kind of created a restaurant company idea in my head. And what that was largely about was about the employees and creating an environment in which employees could thrive.
Right.
And so that's part of my fascinations behind, besides the cooking classes.
How many places start a business? How many owners, entrepreneurs say, I want some place where the employees will thrive? Yeah. But I mean, it is smart because when you have employees that thrive and do well and want to succeed, that does well for your business.
It's true. I didn't know how to do it. And,
but you've done it 20 years in. I'm pretty sure that qualifies as having done it.
We've done pretty well.
Well, tell us a little bit about your celebration that you have coming up on April 1st and April 8th.
Yeah, we're taking a little, blast to the past and bringing back some of our old instructors from the past 20 years. Mm-hmm. And our new instructors will be around as well, supporting it and making some cameo appearances. But so we'll be doing cooking demonstrations at both locations. At our Lincoln Square location, which is our older location, we're having our chefs from the first 10 years. Some of those chefs come back, and so they'll be doing demonstrations all day. We'll have food and drink and prizes and discounts. And then and that's on April 1st from 10 to 5. And mm-hmm. then on April 8th at the Merchandise Mart, we'll have chefs coming back from the last 10 years and doing demonstrations, basically the same thing, and that'll be from 10 to 5.
And when you started this out, how many other locations were there in Chicago for studying, for people taking cooking classes at all?
Well, the recreational style of classes we offered, I don't believe there were any.
Maybe the Discovery Center?
Had been some before, and I'm not saying no one taught any cooking classes. There were people in the suburbs and individuals who taught them, but physical locations, I don't believe there were any in the city.
Yeah, no, you definitely started a trend and so ahead of what was going on nationally, because cooking has become a sport. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely become visual. It's become hands-on, where someone like Paul really could possibly get
Might actually get my oven fixed now.
Yeah. I think you should take a class. 7 years, but. Can you say a little bit? Would you hang out for some live music?
Absolutely.
And more conversation? Because we haven't even talked about this amazing margarita that I'm enjoying and has really taken away the stress of sitting in an emergency room for 6 hours. My shoulders are like dropping like this much. My mother. I was busy earlier today. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian Paul Farvar and Shelley Young, the chef and owner of The Chopping Block. Coming up in a little bit, we will have the Bingers live in the studio. Fun to ask them. Yeah, that's what I said. the Bingers. Paul, it's fun to ask them questions.
Shelley. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
I asked, they were doing their sound check, and I asked what song they were playing, and they were like, that one. I'm like, okay, so we're not going to do a song right now. we can go ahead and wait. Shelley, you have brought in an amazing margarita. Thank you so much for that.
You're so welcome.
Appreciate that. And I was mentioning that there is no triple sec in that. Is all fresh.
It is fresh, yes. I mean, I do love a triple sec.
A good triple sec, though.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
And Grand Marnier.
Absolutely.
And those things.
I love that.
But
to
you, this is pretty specific, this one.
Yeah, this is a very simple formula. I've been learning a lot about making drinks from our mixologists that we have now. And, just a simple formula, which really transformed me, which was one part acid, one part triple sec, or excuse me, not triple sec, simple syrup, mm-hmm. to two parts alcohol.
Okay.
So,
thank you for that.
So for margarita, it's lime, the simple syrup, and tequila. But if you switch the spirit or the type of citrus that you're using, you just can make a Tom Collins or you make a Gimlet or any other drink.
Are you picking that up?
I just heard the double the alcohol. I'm like, double that seems to make it taste. That's would
good.
Do it.
Yeah, good alcohol, double it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Double it's always
that's
good.
What I learned.
Said, two parts. That's the thing I took away.
And the other thing is now hummus is something that people always think of as chickpeas or baba ganoush, which is eggplant.
Yes.
Right. This is I don't know if I've had it before, but I thought maybe you brought guacamole, but you have not.
I did not. It's a sweet pea hummus.
Yes.
Yeah. This is getting ready for spring. We're doing some seasonal menus, and this is in one of our spring fling classes. It's just made with fresh spring peas.
It's very good. And the other thing is that a lot of people, especially And I know you've seen over 20 years how people have changed and like, I'm only eating, you know, low carb or I'm eating gluten free. Yeah. It seems as though you're making things available, you know, not just, these are fresh with being able to dip a radish in sweet peas. Have you ever had radish?
Yeah.
No one ever gives me radishes.
That's what makes Shelley in the Persian community.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's just in general, whether, you know, that people are more interested in more plant-based diets.
Right.
And across the board, that's easy to do, and you can't really be controversial about that. I mean, it's just very simple. And, you know, so we look for all kinds of ways to get more, you know, vegetables into our diets.
And when you are teaching classes, because you've been doing this for 20 years at the Chopping Block, celebrating both at your Lincoln Square destination and at the Merchandise Mart, April 1st in Lincoln Square. Mm-hmm. And then on April 8th at the Merchandise Mart, when people start coming out to classes, what are the things that they're most hung up on? What are they like the most timid about when it comes to trying to try new things?
Oh, I think people are very different in what they're timid about. But knife skills was our most popular class from the time we opened to now. And so people are nervous about knives and they feel very inefficient with them.
And the thing is that there are two that I use. I mostly use two, that big butcher's knife.
Yes.
And then a little paring knife.
Yes.
Are really the only two that and then I have like a long one, and that's just because the butcher's knife is dirty.
Yeah. That's pretty much what you need, a nice bread knife maybe.
Right. With serrated knife.
Yeah, absolutely. And then sometimes, you know, be a boning knife if you're a little fancy.
Yeah, I don't have a bone. Yeah, I don't really need one.
But they're really...
That's more curved, knife. Right?
It's more curved.
And what are some of the techniques? Because I broke down and bought, because I do have like the tip of my pinky gone.
Yes.
Like that's going to be numb for the rest of my life. Uh-huh. So I did buy like one of these like silver sort of like it's like a ring, but I always forget to use it. And I'm like, you know what? There goes that manicure. I don't care.
Uh-huh.
Are there things that people can use to give them a little more confidence when it comes to chopping?
Well, really, if you're holding your hand correctly, the tips should be under,
right?
Kind of curled. The nails are away. But if you have really long fingernails, that's one thing it's difficult to work around. But other than that, it's just proper technique. You shouldn't really need a little guard or anything like that. But again, you know, I just am all for whatever makes you feel comfortable and makes you want to cook. So if you
we're looking at you, Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to say one thing. If you cook at all, you cook.
Right.
You know how to cook one thing, and you ever cook once a year, once every 5 years.
Coffee count as cooking or no?
Yes.
And a French press is much better.
I'm going to give you that.
Do you French press your cooking?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Then you understand a lot of the elements of cooking then. That it's different than a drip.
Water and
no, but
you put milk and sugar in it?
I do, yeah.
Okay, then it's cooking.
Yeah.
There you go.
Done.
And I make tea too. loose tea.
Yeah, that requires steeping.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Geez, Paul, don't brag.
Yeah, right.
Esmeralda, awesome. Ladies, come on by.
See, Esmeralda does. I would say of all of us, Esmeralda is the most adventurous when it comes to cooking. She'll do all kinds of things. Esmeralda, what's the thing you're most proud of? Would you say?
I was just talking about this because I'm moving and I want for housewarming. I wanted to do this is mole.
Oh.
So I make I
a use, good mole. Oh, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Yeah,
yeah. I use Rick Bayless's recipe, but it's still like. A bazillion things.
Oh, yeah. Rick Bayless has got a lot of stuff going on in his mole.
It takes 20 million hours to make.
What would you say for a mole?
Well, it's funny you say that. I'm not actually making mole for this, but on the 4th, it's our actual anniversary, and I'm doing a very intimate dinner where I'm cooking. I'm doing Mexican, and it's one of my passions and loves as well. But I mean, moles are, you know, they're so complicated. There's many different kinds, but I love them, and I have a couple different standards that I make. But you know, I'm not sure how to. There's a list of 27 ingredients in each one
saying,
of them. Yeah,
she was saying it's so complicated.
They are complicated, but they're worth it. They're really delicious.
And as good as the Doña Maria brands are, is that the jar with the yellow? But the weird lid, too, isn't it, Esmeralda?
Hey, my mom uses that.
I know.
And she's like, and then I add some spices to it. I'm like, okay, yeah. Cool.
When my mom makes chilaquiles, it's a three-day affair. She is not playing when it comes to chilaquiles.
Yeah. Pozole, too, I think, is little bit similar to mole and that complicatedness.
And the sauce.
And it's delicious.
Excellent. Can you stay for one more segment? I keep making you stay for one more segment.
I'm happy to stay as long as
wonderful, because you brought the best margaritas. We are talking to Shelley Young, the chef and owner of The Chopping Block, celebrating her 20th anniversary both at the Lincoln Square location, and the parties are at the Lincoln Square location at the Merchandise Mart as well. April 1st in Lincoln Square, April 8th at the Merchandise Mart. You can go to her Facebook page, Chopping Block, on Twitter also. Chopping Block all over the place. Is it choppingblock.com?
Yes, thechoppingblock.com.
Excellent. More when we come back with the Bingers and some live music. Really?
Yeah, the Bingers.
Yeah. Bing. I keep writing it down, and I can't get it.
Bing like ding.
Bingers. Ding? No, it's not going to help me. Ding. I wrote it down. I'm like, no, I got it right here.
Bing like the search engine.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how this goes, because they're going to hate me when they're done. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Music Monday, and we're thrilled to welcome the Bingers, and here they are. I get it when it counts, kind of. The other times counted too, just so you know. Here they are with Blues Number One. That was the Bingers live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and it's Music Monday. They're playing Blues Number One. We'll interview them in just a little bit. More music. Bob Ferguson, thank you as always for making the band sound as great on the air as they do in studio. That was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That was it was a little rockabilly, a little bluesy, a little right here in the studio. Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Shelley,
Yes, Shelley Young, I loved it.
The chef and owner of the Chopping Block. Wasn't that great?
It was.
Welcome to Monday Nights on my show, by the way.
It was fantastic.
You're welcome anytime.
It was really exciting, yeah.
Well, it's been a pleasure also talking to you about your and you're welcome to stay for as long as you want.
Oh,
we're just hanging out. Mondays are pretty laid back.
Okay.
We are thrilled that you're celebrating 20 years, having stumbled upon Chicago as a place where you're trying to you know, get a few things done and ended up staying. What neighborhood did you end up, can I ask, where you ended up settling? Or where you live now?
Well, now I actually am a Michigan resident, believe it or not. I live, because I
sell mentioned out.
That. I bought that property in Michigan, but I live down in River North as well.
And in Michigan, like how far north in Michigan?
Union Pier, so just an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, so like around the Three Oaks area or?
Yeah,
okay.
Close, closer to the water.
I'm going
to
come visit you.
Absolutely.
My in-laws make me, and they can, I don't care if they hear this, they make me do the family reunions every other summer in various locations, but this year they've decided to go back to Three Oaks, which we love. Yeah, it's wonderful there.
There's a distillery there.
Yes, I know. It's one of the things I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I'll be over here. Thanks, everyone. No, I actually didn't have a chance to enjoy that, but many of the other folks, like, I have two little ones. So not little, but kids that need to be sort of, you know.
Tended to.
Yes. Thank you. That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. But it's a wonderful area.
It is.
And it's vibrant. There really are a lot of people, I think, from Chicago who go there with a lot of, whether it's artistic or culinary endeavors.
Well, I'm taking music lessons in Three Oaks. So that's
you
why
are.
I say that. So yeah, I'm trying to learn how to read music because I want to play around with a little music in my barn.
I love that.
Who knows what will happen the next 20 years, right?
Well, please, whatever you want, because you've accomplished so much here in Chicago, and I think a lot of people owe you a debt of gratitude.
Oh, that's kind. Thank you so much.
You've made a really wonderful impression on the city with everything you've done at the Chopping Block. So it's wonderful that you're celebrating your 20th anniversary. So are you, you know, as you make that sort of shift towards living a little more in Michigan, how long have you been making that more your home?
Well, I bought the property 2.5 years ago,
okay,
and we've been working on it since. So.
And an hour and 15 minutes. Is it really an hour?
It's not bad at all. And, you know, I live in River North, so when I'm working in the city, I stay here and then head back up there.
Are there trains? There aren't any trains because Michigan City.
Amtrak goes into New Buffalo there.
What? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
I have, yes, but it's their schedule is pretty limited, so it hasn't worked out too much. And
right.
I have a dog, so.
Oh, no dogs on the train?
Uh-uh. I think you can get. I could have it to be a service dog.
But I don't
sure
want to encourage any bad behavior.
I'm not
but
sure about that.
I know. I don't want to encourage. They should allow dogs on train. I would think at this point now, when people travel, there should be like a dog car.
Well, what kind of dog is it? How big is it?
Shih Tzu.
Oh, okay.
That's a bag dog. Yeah. A purse dog.
Yeah.
What's the Shih Tzu's name?
Micah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Micah must love the farm.
Yeah.
How many acres do you have?
A couple acres.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more again about your anniversary. Like people can come out on April 1st, April 8th.
April 1st, 10 to 5 and at the Lincoln Square location, and April 8th from 10 to 5 mm-hmm. at our Merchandise Mart location. And all day long cooking classes, discounts, cocktails, all kinds of fun stuff. So.
And actually, so you had brought the, by the way, let's go back to the chorizo with the bacon and dates.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I eat a lot of dates because it's a great quick snack. Mm-hmm. It's portable, but I've eaten so many stuffed dates. Every time I see it on a menu, I will order whatever it's stuffed with.
It somehow never gets old.
It doesn't.
It's something we've been doing it forever, and it's just delicious.
Well, the sweet and savory.
It is.
Some
excellent.
People do it with like
all
a little goat
groups.
Cheese.
Yeah.
I dip it in a little bit of cream cheese.
Okay. You can dip it in anything. Yeah. Romesco sauce or this has got a cream of balsamic on it. Oh. So it's actually like a reduced balsamic vinegar. It's delicious.
And that's what I want to encourage people to do is go and seek your classes too. So where do they go to thechoppingblock.com?
Thechoppingblock.com. You know, we have, if you see a day that is doesn't have any classes on it, it's because we're full. Because a big part of our business is actually parties. That's actually the biggest part of our business. So we have a lot of classrooms. We do hundreds of classes, and they change every month. So there should be something for everyone there.
So can you tell me one of the in your 20 years, is there a moment that you remember just someone it really clicking for? Like the aha moments that maybe one of your customers has had it's changed their lives?
Well, there's two classes, and these happen every single time in them, and that is knife skills, which is always interesting to me. It's just a couple-hour class, and there are definitely audible sighs in most classes where people just click, and they can't believe the proficiency that they can gain in just a couple of hours. And the other one is our boot camp, and that's a 5-day long program. And after that, it's really life changing. People, you know, it just changes their relationship to cooking and gets them in the kitchen. And
I think I'm gonna sign up for that with my mom.
Yeah,
I think my mom and I need a boot. Oh, she's an excellent cook.
Yeah.
But
that one is for, we'll have people who are thinking about going to culinary school but want to try it out.
Uh-huh.
People who just don't cook at all and
so you have
just
a wide range.
Wanted to do it.
Okay.
Or people who are really proficient all in the same class.
Do you yell at them there? Like,
yes.
Is it like a real boot
camp? Do you really?
No.
I can't imagine you yelling at anyone,
no,
Shelly.
That's why I picture boot camp. It's like, you don't know what you're doing. Just yell at them.
No, we do.
We do push-ups and stuff?
No.
What's an average size of a class?
Well, boot camps are small. They're usually about 8 to 12. But usually they're 20. But parties, we can do hundreds of people. So
okay.
We'll do hundreds of people at a time.
Paul, let's go to boot camp.
If you need someone to teach people how to make coffee,
yeah,
too.
And in our Lincoln Square location, we have an outdoor classroom. So we do grilling classes out there, which is really fun to be outside in the summertime.
Oh, I saw your head just snap around.
Like
grilling class.
Oh, yeah.
See,
that.
Then you cook.
No, I don't grill.
Then why'd you get excited?
I like when other people do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So
I have in the past, but not since the 90s.
You want the fruits of their efforts, just not the effort part.
I'll contribute.
Like, okay.
Gathering.
You're like, it's missing, that part's missing a little bit of seasoning.
Yeah.
All right, fine
I can do that. Now I know how to, the garlic salt.
Well, there you go. Well, now, and by the way, how'd you like this? Like asparagus. You know what, the one vegetable that I just had at the Purple Pig the other day, finally, I think the first time ever that I've had Brussels sprouts, and I went, okay, this is okay.
This is good.
But I get it's also the after effect is a little rough on me. I'm guessing in 20 years you've had people tell you that before.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm feeling a little tightness in my chest.
Yes.
It's the after effects. Mm-hmm. But the asparagus with the prosciutto, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So
you.
Good. Will you hang out and listen to some more live
of
music?
Course.
Excellent. We're hanging out with Shelly Young. She is celebrating 20 years. She's the chef and owner of the Chopping Block. Paul's here too. It's time now for our news. The Bingers are going to play some more live music in the Allstate Showcase Studio for Music Monday. It's Music Monday, and we are thrilled to welcome the Bingers in studio. I really have enjoyed hanging out with them, and they've rotated. This is the first time, I believe. Yeah, no, it's I don't believe. I'm quite certain Paul Farvar and Shelly Young of the Chopping Block, that I've never seen a band just rotate completely. No one's standing where they were originally. It's musical instrument night in the Allstate Showcase Studio because they're show-offs a little bit. And we're pleased and impressed. Time now for music with them. Here they are with Witchcraft.
We'll be right back. let me not a minute to soon become a monster, and I traded my choice for temporary reprieve from this insatiable lust that flame we crave. There's a way, I'm not feeling too well because I play in the power and I'm under the spell of her witchcraft.
Wow, that was the Bingers with Witchcraft. These guys are going to be at the Empty Bottle on April 20th for Tall Pat Records. Their LP release party is at the Empty Bottle on April 20th at 9 p.m. Peach Fuzz and Gliders. Am I saying gliders right? Because
glitters.
Glitters.
Well,
actually.
Spell with a Y. Just you know, you guys can come grab microphones again. You can relax a little. The Gliders. Yes. There have been various pronunciations of their band tonight. I'm not the first, and I'm not the only. By the way, you promised Shelly that she could take a twirl with those drumsticks, by the way. Just saying.
Yeah. We're going to hold our promise.
Yeah, excellent.
We
appreciate that. Because we have an interview we're going to air in a little bit with Michael Rooker, so we have some time. If you guys want to go ahead and give her some of those sticks, that would be very cool. And I'm reading also that, okay, so Esmeralda, on occasion on this show, we've discussed whether or not the shores of Lake Michigan can be considered a beach.
Mm-hmm.
You and I contend that it is.
They are, yeah.
And I believe that our guests can absolutely say that our lake shore is a beach.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because you guys do what? You surf.
Yeah,
a little bit.
A little bit.
You can surf in the Midwest.
Can you tell people that surfing is not only possible, it's encouraged? Yeah.
It is encouraged. Well, I don't know about that.
You mentioned a New Buffalo.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we go to surf. Yeah, they've got
I see people up there surfing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Oh, and New Buffalo, not in Chicago.
How high did the...
Chicago, too.
Okay. What were they? Were they like 5 feet, 6 feet, something like that?
It's all wind waves. Yeah. But yeah, they get... And it sucks because it's like...
I mean, you're not going to do any like 360s or anything like that. But I mean, we can't do that anyways. So
it's all wind waves.
All
right.
All wind waves. Let me tell you about the storms and how to track them. No, I'm kidding.
Go ahead.
Have
you surfed on the coast, though?
On vacation.
Or in the Gulf?
Yeah.
And how does it differ? I mean, the undertow is significant compared
no
to
sharks.
Lake Michigan. No sharks here.
Sharks is the better thing.
Lake houses.
You're just like, it's like muck and sand.
And like on the lakes, there aren't like, you know.
Jellyfish is also something you have to worry. You do not have to worry about here.
Jellyfish,
right?
And like good surfers, you know, you don't have to worry about them either.
My sister lives in Hawaii, and I was there like 2 Januaries ago, and I thought like I was like I'm in pretty good shape, whatever. Like cool, this is like, and she's like, this is the boogie boarding beach, like not even like there's like 10-year-old kids just like swimming and frolicking in this. I was like, cool, like, I'm going to go out. And they're like these 10-foot waves. And I just got thrashed beyond belief. I was like scrambling, like panicking, like blue crush.
Yeah, when you get smashed by a wave, it's kind of terrifying,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And I was like, okay, I'll just hold my breath and be cool and like underwater and like not panic. But then when I was underwater, before I could even get up, there was like this undertow like that ripped me like sideways and like it was crazy.
No, it's a little scary. Yeah. Stick with New Buffalo.
Yeah.
Now, Shelly, are you get yourself a surfboard and go run out there and ride the wave? No, not a surfer. All right,
not
then.
At all. No, I lived in San Diego for 7 years and never surfed there.
You were never drawn to that?
Not at all.
I like to swim a little bit, you know, maybe a little bit. I'm more of a Lake Michigan girl myself.
Yeah,
I like
the nothing wrong with that.
It's yeah, nice exactly. And also motorcycles, all three of you?
Yeah.
Yep.
Do you, Paul, ride a motorcycle?
I do not. I'm scared of them.
Me too.
Yeah, my dad was a doctor and he would like say how dangerous they were.
Yeah, how do your
I get it.
How do your parents feel about the motorcycles?
We Do they not know?
Of,
we were kind of encouraged.
Are we outing you on the WGR?
No. My dad was a mechanic.
Okay.
So, yeah, like, we grew up on, like, dirt bikes and four-wheelers and that type stuff. But, I mean, they are scary. Motorcycles are scary.
So you were a bad influence on Jackie over here.
Not really.
I think he was down that path. He was down that path regardless, I think.
He had a leather jacket.
He already had a tattoo when he was 8.
Yeah.
Harley Davidson.
From the bad streets of Bridgeport. I can see that happening.
Yeah, sure.
We have to run to news, and after that we're going to hear our interview with Michael Rooker that we were lucky enough to record with him on Saturday morning. Shelley, you're welcome to stay. We're not going to go live again until 1:45. I just want everyone to know. But one more time, let people know about the events that you have coming up at the Chopping Block.
We've got two anniversary parties, one at Lincoln Square location on April 1st from 10 to 5, and one at our Merchandise Mart location from 10 to 5 on the 8th, April 8th.
And everyone should sign up for some camps, maybe the cutting.
Knife skills.
I want knife skills.
Are knife skills
part of boot camp?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Shelly and I's new band name too, actually. Knife skills. With a Z.
Well, actually, one time in one of my favorite interviews, I was quoted as our most popular class was Night Skills.
That can be interpreted many ways.
Yeah. I like that one. Yeah.
Could be like knights, like the Knights of the Round Table.
I'm sure that's what people are thinking.
Or yeah, bon chicken bon. Is that what? No? The other thing.
Insert porn music now. There it is. Mike is waiting to play that all night.
He's so quick with that.
Where's the djembe?
Shelly, it's been a pleasure to have you. Seriously, if you're still here at 1:45, because I know you're gonna be jamming out on these drums back here. Let's hang out a little bit. And the Bingers are going to be playing at the Empty Bottle on April 20th for their LP Stay Satisfied. I don't know. As you can tell so far, I am all over the map. So I'll see what happens. I try to stay satisfied.
Everyone does.
That's all you can do.
Exactly. And hang out if you guys want to. We've got some more food from the Chopping Block with Shelley Young, who's brought some really great treats. One more thing before we go to the news. That asparagus, it's always either undercooked or overcooked. And this is it almost tastes raw. It's so snappy.
Well, it's just snappy. It's just slightly cooked, yeah.
Just slightly.
Yeah.
See, and it's not.
This is a thinner spear, so you might have a little easier time cooking that.
Is it in the oven or is it in a skillet or?
This they did in the oven, yeah.
In the oven, because mine are always soggy. Anyway, that's just my problem, not yours. Not yours, Ronnie, Teddy, or Jackie. Of the Bingers, is it yours? It's always soggy. You're listening pretty late, and once again, we are thrilled to welcome back Michael Rooker in studio. The Guardians of the Galaxy cake that we've been gifted by GBD Cakes is spectacular, and we're thrilled that you're back in studio with us. I know that you've been traveling. Dr. Charles Turk and I were thrilled to interview you 2 years ago when you were in town for Wizard World, and I invited him back today, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Well, thank you.
Good to be back.
We had Scott Wilson on last night. We called you late last night.
That's right. I was in my relax mode.
Yes.
I was in a bubble bath.
I could not hear the popping of bubbles in the background, but
my bubbles don't pop.
Oh, fair enough.
They last a long time so that I can just relax and hang out, chill out.
You handle your bubbles gently?
Mm-hmm.
My bubbles are perfect. Perfect for me, you know. They give a little buoyant, so I float a little bit.
Mm-hmm. As you deserve. Now, you do you make your home in Los Angeles, or where do you live? Because you travel quite a bit.
I do, and I have a house here in Chicago and on the near north side near Loyola.
Okay.
And I have a place in L.A. that I'm at most of the time.
Most of the time. It's been a busy couple of years for you. Well, it's been a busy career for you, starting here in Chicago.
Yes.
You're right?
Yes, yes. I started back in 79 when I went to theater school.
Where did you go to theater school?
The Goodman School of Drama.
Well, if you're going to start somewhere, it may as well be at the Goodman School of Drama.
Yeah, and then they moved over to DePaul, so mm-hmm. I got out of there in, let's say, 82.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 3-year conservatory program, got out of there and did theater for about 4 or 5 years. Before jumping into like TV and film and all that.
Well, when we've heard so much from people in Los Angeles about how impressed they are with actors that come out of Chicago, and I think that you're one of the best examples of, you know, actors who have such an illustrious career. I mean, you run the gamut of characters.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, we back when I went visiting and sort of putting out my feelers, you know, Chicago was very very big, had a lot of great theater performers and theater productions going on, and then people really, really gave us a foot in the door.
Would you say that, so you, were you noticed partly, or at least were you noticed primarily from your portrayal of Henry Lee Lucas, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
I was in the beginning. Well, not a lot of people had seen it, actually. So, but that little movie got me my role in 8 Men Out, John Sayles' movie. So that was where I got my real big break.
Chick Gandel?
Yeah, Chick Gandel. I played Chick Gandel, first baseman, and for the Chicago White Sox, 1919 World Series.
Right.
So we were playing a period piece. It was really quite cool, and we got to go on location and play baseball for our job.
No kidding.
It was a blast. Yeah, a blast.
How much training did they give you as far as, were you a baseball player by practice as a teenager?
As a kid, yeah. Oh, yeah, we played all the time. But, you know, we couldn't, my character, what you see in the film, we're like trying not to hit the ball.
Right. Oh, sure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always tell that to people because they'll look at the movie and go, "But man, you're not very good at this, are you?"
That was the point.
Your swing is like 2 miles an hour, you know.
Well, that was the thing, was that's what they were accused of, was exaggeratingly not being able to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Chick Gandel was one of the ringleaders as far as that was concerned.
Yeah.
You know, tricking poor Shoeless Joe Jackson, D.B. Sweeney. That whole cast was remarkable.
Yeah. Well, you know, from Chick Gandel's point of view, he wasn't tricking anybody. You know, you come on, please.
Come on, Comiskey was underpaying you guys.
You're gonna get your money in the end.
It's all for entertainment.
You made your decision. You're gonna go with us. Then fine, you can get your money and be happy about it. Don't go whining after the fact.
Now, had you already moved to Los Angeles when you shot 8 Men Out, or were you still in Chicago when they were casting that?
I was still in Chicago.
Yeah, so how great to be able to start your career and be here.
Yeah, I was still in Chicago. I had borrowed $40 from my sister and traveled down to Indianapolis to audition.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. It's great.
And it's interesting, as Charles mentioned, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. We talked to Scott Wilson last night, and I was just struck by the fact that both of you started with these characters that are so dark and gritty. And it is kind of, for it to be your first major roles, I kind of find that to be an interesting sort of correlation.
It is. Right? Oh, yeah, it is. He did some, I mean, wow, that was a great movie, wasn't it?
In Cold Blood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy.
And you've played such a wide range of roles since then, too. You know, and I noticed that it seems like you've had a full plate, especially a lot lately, you know, and you continue to, you know, to do what looks like a lot of different things. You know, you've just had a movie released in which you, it looks like you play a maintenance man. I haven't seen it yet.
Bud.
Balco Experiment.
I'm Bud, the janitorial engineer. Excuse me?
Yeah, we don't want to diminish your role.
Maintenance, come on.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, again.
Watch it, Charles.
I've only seen the trailer.
I go way beyond maintenance in that movie.
Well, I have no doubt. But, so there's that. I mean, but you've got, released March 17th, and then you've got another movie, of course, you know, in which you have a larger role, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yeah. And I only saw the first movie this last November, despite the movie having come out in 2014.
Yeah, okay. Just catching up,
in a way is good because I have to wait a whole lot less than most people did.
What did you think about it?
Oh, I loved it.
A little bit fresher in your mind.
Oh, it was a whole lot of fun. I absolutely loved it. It was a blast.
We're just speaking of the demographics for that movie. We started out, you know, it's like that, those kinds of movies, like, I don't know, 18 to 26 or something, male.
Right,
and all of a sudden it just blew everyone's expectations out of the water. You got 6.5-year-olds watching it with their grandpas and their grandmothers, and mom and dad are watching it in the background and enjoying it as well. So, I mean, the demographics was all over the board. So it was great stuff.
I'm 37. Yeah. So
and not a fan of superhero movies, which it kind of falls in that comic book genre.
It does. But it's space, you know, yes. Sci-fi. I mean, it goes beyond comic books, even though it is,
You just saw it, really. What do you hope to see in Volume 2?
In Volume 2? No, honestly.
What are
you
going to do?
I mean, more of the same, you know. It's simply a different story, but, you know, a lot of the same characters, which, you know, no doubt there will be. I mean, so they're bringing back, you know, Groot, clearly, you know, because they didn't quite kill
Groot.
Him off.
A little Sprout. Yeah, he's a tiny little guy now.
Yeah.
There's a baby Groot. And he's
a little mischievous, too, isn't he?
He's a little twig, for goodness sake.
He's a youngin'.
Yeah.
Honestly, but I like your character, too. You know,
Yondu is a great role, yeah, for me.
Yeah.
I had a great time. And I look a little different. I got a little different look. My mohawk my fin, some people call it a fin. It's a little bigger, right?
Yeah, but, and your character, you know, he, too, is a little mischievous, but, kind of evil, you know. I mean, very angry, you know.
Did it come off angry? I don't know. Angry. I was just, you know, that's just the way, Yondu is, you know. He's a tough love kind of guy, and discipline to him is like a good shot in the ribs.
He's got standards. Well, he's got a high bar.
Totally,
Yeah.
I mean, he gets a little played, you know. But in some ways, he kind of likes it too. It's complicated, you know. I mean, angry is that doesn't quite get it right. But it's complicated, which
fun,
is a tribute
loving,
to you.
Fun loving, tough love. Humorous.
Yeah.
The guy's got Yondu has a great sense of humor.
Yeah, he does.
More, you know, not the yuck, line, laugh, laugh.
Right.
More of a frying pan in the face.
He's the opposite of a pushover, you know? That's for certain.
Which is remembered. By the way, one of your co-stars, Sean Gunn, says that this is a part that should get you an Academy Award nomination.
Is that right? Did he say that?
He did say that.
Ah, well, how sweet of him.
Is that because he spent so much time in the makeup chair next to you? Is that
totally. I have no idea. I have no idea. Sean's a great guy, though. We had a blast.
And I did not realize that Yondu's also going to be in the next Avengers movie that you also have been filming. You filmed that.
Who told you that?
I saw it on IMDb.
Yeah, well... You may be correct.
All right, then.
And then maybe you may
Is
not.
Is it a hologram?
Maybe
it...
you may not be correct.
Then I won't ask. We will edit it out. It's so tricky. You're so slippery with that. We are talking to Michael Rooker, who is in town for the Walker Stalker Convention at the Donald Lee Stephen Convention Center. And for the Walker Stalker, I mean, you have such a huge career, and I know that people don't just come up to you to talk about Walking Dead. Obviously, there's a lot of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe there's, what's the car movie? The Thunder?
Days of Thunder.
Days of Thunder with Tom
Rowdy,
Cruise.
Rowdy Burns. Yeah. Michael Rooker. Parker and Tom Cruise.
I know, how great
Tom
is
was
that?
great to work with. Tom was an awesome guy, and he kept giving. You know, Tom is such a giving guy and very honest and a really nice guy. He kept giving gifts.
Really?
Very short story. He kept giving gifts. Every time I turned around, there'd be something new in my trailer, right? I'm like, wow, this guy is all of a sudden there's a stereo system. Next time there's a new phone. Next time there's a new something else. And you know, one morning he drove up. Parked by my trailer and with his car, and it's this BMW 750i. And I'm going, Tom, you shouldn't have. he looked at me and smiled and shook his finger. Nah. I don't think so.
That's amazing. How old was he when he was making Days of Thunder? He had to be a kid still. You both were kids.
Yeah, we were both. When was it, Mike? 20 years ago?
Do you think like maybe
25 years ago?
It was after Top Gun, so maybe 88, maybe 87?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he was still a kid.
We were both kind of, I had, you know, curly hair and everything, you know. Fun.
And he had Nicole Kidman, so
and
I don't know.
And we look good in those driver suits.
Yes, you certainly did. I'm just saying, not that I was paying attention, but yes, you looked very good in those.
It was hard to get me out of my trailers. I was constantly in the mirror looking. God, you look good.
Isn't that how you feel in your Yondu makeup?
My Yondu makeup is marvelous, by the way.
It is.
I'm glad you mentioned that because that is like... that's like six layers of you wouldn't think. It's mm-hmm. there's a gold flex, and then there's silver, and then there's sure. blue, and then there's greens. It's amazing stuff. And the real trick for that makeup is that you can run around and jump up and down and sweat actually beads.
I mean, through the makeup, so it
through
looks
the
like
makeup, it looks like absolutely real skin.
Whoa,
looks great!
Amazing.
Looks great. Feels good too.
Well, that how much does it cover? Is it
everything?
That's what I was asking.
I hope you like blue.
I do. Don't we all? We are hanging out with Michael Rooker. Let's take a break here. More with him. He's in town for the Walker Soccer Convention in Rosemont, the Donald E. Stephen Convention Center. More in just a moment on 720 WGN.
The human world, it's a mess. Life under the sea is better than anything they got up there. The seaweed is always greener in somebody else's lake. You dream about going up there, but that is a big mistake. Just look at the world around you.
You're listening right pretty late, and yesterday, Michael Heidemann and I had the opportunity to enjoy the mermaid life at the UIC Sports and Fitness Center, courtesy of Nora and their new aquatics program that they have launched, where you can take classes and swim like a mermaid. Paul, I know that you have a lifelong fantasy of being legless. Did you feel a little claustrophobic, Michael?
A little bit. It was it was a tight squeeze, let's just say that.
Yeah.
I've never worn compression shorts before, but I assume that that's what they were like.
No.
No,
compression shorts are even tighter than that. But for me, it was more of the not being able to kick. Because I've done dolphin kicks before. I was a swimmer and a lifeguard, so I've done a lot of aquatics, mm-hmm. but never. And I was surprised that they actually do have the, you know, when you go scuba diving, you have the fins, right, for mm-hmm. one for each foot. But they actually have these where they're blended together, so your feet are just latched together, and then they slip over this body sock in the shape of a mermaid tail.
Is there like an emergency release? I feel like I'd be claustrophobic.
I was a little bit.
Or well, how deep is the water, I guess?
Well, we were only in about five feet of water.
30 feet of water.
No, we were. Yeah.
There was rocks on the bottom.
We were standing like from 3 feet to
undertow.
5 feet. It was
kale.
There was one point though where she wanted us to swim backwards mm-hmm. and put our arms around each other, and like we were all kind of pulling each
and
other
choreograph.
Down. Yeah, we were all kind of like Esmeralda. There was like a point where I'm like, I think Kaufman's drowning me. I think I'm pretty sure he's pulling me under right now.
This is the way I'm gonna go. This is it.
This is how I die.
Are there all everyone? So there's just a bunch of people wearing mermaid outfits.
Yes.
How many people total in this?
Well, there
water?
Were two. There were two classes of mermaids. Our class from WGN Radio included Michael Heidemann and Justin Kaufman, Stephanie Menendez, mm-hmm. our director of operations, regular guest of the show, pharmacist expert Charles Turk. And by the way, Stephanie's daughter, Sophie, was so cute. Esmeralda, she had the cutest, like, sparkly gold mermaid's tail.
She is always on point with outfits whenever we see her.
She was not playing.
I think I found the picture, you guys.
I'll show you the full picture. That's a picture of us. Michael, you look very good, I would say, out of all of us. And Violetta Padromedic did not put on a mermaid costume.
Mm-mm. She went sans mermaid.
Yes, she was our videographer.
Yes.
I think she was enjoying that quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, there were a lot of poses. She kept saying, well, what else do you guys want to do? Maybe, and it always ended up just with us blowing kisses. So I'm assuming that the video is going to be mainly us blowing kisses for like 5 minutes.
Well, it's so funny. I don't think that like as a videographer, like you have to tell people what to do. If mm-hmm. you keep asking us, what do you want to do? And Esmeralda keeps saying like, well, how does it make it feel? I'm like, it's perfectly natural.
Well, let me just say, if there was anybody who was natural, it was you, Patty. Patty like had the mermaid swim down. Like I was kind of shocked because everyone else was kind of like near drowning and like gasping for breath, and Patty just like was flying by. Like I don't need no pool noodle.
Pool noodle. We had pool noodle.
Noodle. Yeah.
Pool
yes.
noodle. Like a noodle, swimming noodle.
It's a hard word to say.
I got it. Yeah. I figured it out right away.
Bob, I used to live in the water.
And you watch Splash at least 5 times.
Oh, so. See, now if we're going to go with a mermaid movie, mm-hmm. that's the one. I hadn't even thought of a Daryl Hannah. That's a great movie. Thank you very much for a touchstone. I'm actually going to take our friends from Knife and Tine and do the class again. Esmeralda, will you join us? Now that I know what it entails.
I would drown.
No, you would not. It's standing.
The fact that you can, I would start flailing around. I'm not a very strong swimmer
You don't have to be a strong swimmer. You have to be a strong.
Do you get floaties?
You can't have floaties.
Do you get to pick the colors that you wear?
You do get to pick the colors that you wear. Mm-hmm. But we kind of chose pink for everybody because the instructor was in blue, and I think it worked out to where the size is.
What are the other colors besides pink?
Blue and pink, and there was sort of like the one girl in the other class. Did you see her? She had like the pink and blue scales. She might have brought her own.
She brought her own.
Probably. Okay, full disclosure, Esmeralda, I'm going to tell you a secret. I went online afterwards, and I was shopping for
fins
for the mermaid fins. I was like,
it pops up when you Google mermaid.
Yeah, I was like, how much are these?
The next time you go to the beach, yes, you can pretend you're a mermaid.
I can go and do that.
Swim up on someone, go, hi.
I want to see how that shot looks of me rolling into the pool. Did you see that shot that Violetta took? Yeah.
Yes.
She's like, that looked like her. I'm like, no, it's fine. I just imagine, like, you know, I wanted to do something, but I didn't want to make it look sort of painful either. So I didn't want to do like the flopping around like a fish who belongs in water. You ever see a fish like on the, like that jumps out of its bowl?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's tragic. And I kind of wanted to do that, but I also didn't want people to be nervous.
Were you gasping for air?
No, I was not gasping for air.
Don't mermaids have their own like that high pitched voice too from the movie? Did you guys do that?
Oh, from Daryl Hannah, yeah, does do that, doesn't she? Mm-hmm.
Is that like part of the training?
Like the flipper dolphin sound? Or
yeah, it's like, I can't,
yeah,
do it.
Wait,
can't,
what was it?
We can Google Daryl Hannah from the movie Splash, screech or scream. That's mermaid scream or call. Maybe it's a mermaid
it's
call.
It's a combination of English and dolphin.
Dolphin. You're right. I think that you're accurate about that description. That's a great, and thank you so much for reminding me about that movie.
Splash?
Eugene Levy was great in that movie.
And
so was
John Candy.
Candy was, mm-hmm, wonderful. It's a real, Esmeralda, have you ever seen Splash?
Oh, a long time ago.
I think it's from 1980 or something.
I think so,
right?
Too. I was a kid. I was, yeah, a youngin', as they say. God, I haven't seen that movie in a long time. And then there was a moment where Violetta said, "Do you know any of the words from Mermaid?" And I just kind of shook my head. And then you hear Stephanie Menendez just launch in to a full version of it. Do you have Daryl Hannah?
Oh, of course. Here we go.
Here
get
it
ready,
is,
everybody.
Uh-huh. Okay, watch out.
It's a scene where she does the sound and
everything breaks.
TVs explode in,
yeah,
this electronics store.
There you go. Yes, I'll do that next time. Stephanie can sing Little Mermaid, and I'll do Splash.
Wait a minute. Do you know there was a Splash 2?
No.
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now. Look up mermaid movies.
Wait, Splash 2?
Yeah, well, they didn't get any of the original cast back. It was Todd Waring was Alan, and the mermaid mate was Amy Yazbeek.
Amy Yazbeek from Wings? Interesting.
Swim back to Manhattan to help his brother.
She has red hair.
So, yeah, yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, she's from Wings. She's lovely.
So, yeah, there's that.
Daryl Hannah was fantastic in Splash. It was so much fun. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Show. Well, not live. It's not fair. I don't like to lie to my audience and tell them that that we have Michael Rooker in studio at, we're, you know, 11 o'clock at night.
We're live,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, well, we're live.
Yeah, yeah.
But this will have been pre-recorded with Dr. Charles
Kirk. Yeah,
sort
of like frozen food.
Yeah.
It's you are catching us at our best.
You're right.
You know?
We've been flash frozen.
We're like flash frozen, baby, and ready to go. Mm-hmm. I mean, so when you listen to us at 11 p.m. tonight, you're going to know, mm-hmm, this is the good stuff.
Is exactly the way it was intended to be consumed.
Hey, look, the food was alive at some point, too.
Exactly. It all works out. Welcome back to Chicago. I know that you make one of your homes here, mm-hmm, on the near north side and also in Los Angeles, but you travel all over the world doing all kinds of, you know, work.
I do, film. Yeah.
Where do you film Guardians of the Galaxy?
We did the first one in London, and the second one's down in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
Atlanta was... you know, it was kind of nice to be in London,
mm-hmm,
but Atlanta, I'm near my relatives over in Alabama,
right.
So I was able to pay visits and see friends and cousins and brothers and aunts and all kinds.
Do they all want to be on the? When can we come to the set? They all want to meet Chris Pratt.
You know, they were not.
No,
I was surprised.
That's great.
They were sort of like, you know, they're working people, and so they don't have time to come to the set.
You've got seven siblings.
I have five sisters and I have two brothers.
That's a big family.
All survived. I mean, if really I counted it, I added it up. If my mom, if all the children had survived.
Mm-hmm.
birthing and all the other things that happened to young ones. She would have had 12 at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big family.
And twins. She had miscarried like twins twice. So I would have had some twin brothers or sisters, you know?
It's a big Christmas with the...
That would have been amazing, yeah. I already have a big...
Family.
There's a lot of nephews and nieces running around here.
How old were you when you moved from Alabama to Chicago?
13.
13 years... Oh, so your high school years were in Chicago.
Yeah, they were. I moved up here like a year, maybe a year before, or 67, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that... But it was during that big, giant snowstorm.
Oh, remember
the really big one.
I don't remember, but I know of it. Ours was 79.
12-foot snow drifts, stuff like that.
Welcome to Chicago.
What a great introduction to our city.
Oh yeah, coming from Alabama, the back country of Alabama, mid-central Alabama, and getting to Chicago and thinking, wow, this is odd.
You were thinking, why did you bring me here?
What is this all about?
This frozen tundra.
Yeah, you might as well have ended up in the Yukon.
Yeah. Well, and this year's been so bizarre in the other direction. It was 70 degrees in January, 80.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
Just before you got here yesterday, it was 80 degrees Friday morning, and by the evening it was 30 and raining.
Amazing.
It was,
amazing.
If you don't like the weather, wait a minute. Yeah.
It's true. True. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned when we were taking a break there that you have another movie that's in post. What have you been working on?
I do. I did a movie called King Bolden. It's about the birthing of jazz. And it's a period piece, 1905-ish. Mm-hmm. The bowler hats and the really cool suits and all that kind of stuff. And, I play the mayor of New Orleans is right-hand man. In other words, I handle all of his heavy lifting.
Certainly. Well, he can't be expected to do it himself.
No, of course not.
No.
And so it's a great piece. It's chronicles the life of Buddy Bolden,
mm-hmm.
who is considered the grandfather of jazz. It's a beautiful, I think it's going to be beautiful. We'll see when it comes out, but it's in post now. I think they've all finished all the editing and everything, and it's almost ready to go to the next stage.
And that's the thing about your career is that, there are those heavies, the guy that's got to do that mm-hmm. stuff. Is there something that you look for, that you're looking for when you look at a script? Are there certain parts that you're now in search of? Because, you're at the point in your career where you've played so many different characters. What would you like to do?
I'd still like to play many different characters.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, to just, like, for example, the Belko experiment. Mm-hmm. I think people are going to be surprised. My role in the Belko experiment is a little different than what I normally do, and it was a lot of fun to do.
In what ways is it different than what you normally do? Can you share a little?
Well, it's already out. People have already seen it, and
I haven't seen it. Sorry,
I just play a very even keeled. I play a fairly nice man.
You make it sound as though we should be surprised. We know it's in there.
I play a really nice guy, and I'm taking good care of my mentally handicapped coworker. And I'm sure my backstory is sort of like, I've gotten in the job. I said, don't worry, he's going to hang with me the whole time.
Oh,
I'm going to teach him everything, that kind of stuff. And then we're, of course, caught in this melee of craziness.
And there should always be a melee of craziness. Varying stages of it.
Please.
Yeah, bring it. I know. Yeah. That's the thing. There is always an element of mischief and mirth when it comes to anything that you do, whether it's talking to you in person. Mm. And there is an element of that. Also, the potential for chaos and melee. It seems to be just beneath the surface.
I have no idea what you're talking about, like
a coiled spring that's,
I like to tell people when the roles that I like to choose are the roles that you're not sure if you're going to get smacked
mm-hmm.
or you're going to get kissed.
Exactly.
What's it going to be?
Mm-hmm. To quote another baseball movie, look out for In Your Ear. So you're in town for the Walker Stalker convention and, of course, The Walking Dead, such an iconic series. How much television have you had the opportunity to do? Because obviously the bulk of your work has been in film.
When I look at the IMDb, I'm surprised by how much TV I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a lot of guest star back when they had guest star stuff, and they still do it, of course.
Sure.
And so Yeah, I've done quite a lot. The Walking Dead really was my first
regular series
where I had a recurring role and part of the whole team and everything. So,
how far into the series were you brought in?
I was there at the beginning.
Yeah. I've watched the pilot and it freaked me out too much. I can't watch that alone. I gotta hang out with somebody.
Well, Andy was in the pilot mainly, and a bunch of dead people.
Yes. Well, that little girl in that abandoned, the little girl's not, that freaked me out. That all, uh-huh. That stuff freaked me out.
Oh man.
I'm one of those people that's gonna have to binge watch with somebody.
Did that set the mood?
Oh, or really?
What? Yeah. And boy. I came in maybe in the second, third show.
Right.
There were only six in the first year.
Right.
So, yeah.
What did you think about this? I mean, did you wonder if a series about zombies was going to take hold?
Or? Of course, yeah. Yeah. Everybody would, you know. Any normal viewer would go, this, no. You know that commercial where they talk about the wheel? No, it'll never work.
Right.
Or then they got the, and then they look like, internet? No, it never worked. I mean, I looked at The Walking Dead at that point in time going like, what? A zombie Walking Dead TV show? Nah, it'll never work. And now look at it. Right?
Hundreds of conventions later.
Oh, man, it's crazy.
What are you most surprised of by when fans come to these Walker Stalker conventions or the Comic-Cons? Because you're very generous with your time on these, by the way.
I'm surprised at how young the viewership is.
Right?
Yeah. Have you noticed?
I know.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm looking at these little ones. I'm going like, you watch The Walking? Oh, yeah. Are you caught up? Oh, yes. And the mom's going like, oh, yeah. They see it over and over and over again.
They go to sleep with it at night.
I cannot believe this. I had to watch cartoons for at least an hour before I went to sleep after watching Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein.
Sure.
I mean, and that's very realistic, right?
Uh-huh.
Not. But my poor system was, I couldn't sleep.
So you're talking about like, 12, 10, even younger?
Younger, dude. Yeah. Younger, even younger. I have little Merle Dixons coming up to me that are like 4 and 5 with the little knife hands, and mom and dad have already cosplaying the hell out of these kids. It's so great.
See, I had an 8-year-old girl at Halloween last year. She was dressed like a cheerleader zombie, right?
Oh,
and I thought for sure it was Walking Dead. I go, oh, are you a cheerleader zombie? She goes, no, I'm a cheerleader who was killed in a car accident because of drunk driving. I was like, okay, your parents have a whole different set of circumstances going on for you. You sure you don't want a Bible to put in? It's not, I'm not giving you
what
candy.
What is that all about?
Isn't that intense?
Oh, my God. Like,
I thought
Mom
for sure.
And dad, let the kids be. Leave them out of your politics. Please leave them out of your...
Well, there it's hard to avoid, but I really enjoy talking to you. And please, anytime you're in Chicago, I have to make sure. And by the way, so the other reason I know that we have one of the most full studios I've had in a while, I invited George. I think I should be able to turn on your microphone over there. George Velasquez is a guard, former guard at North Avenue Beach. By the way.
Oh, right on, dude. Me too.
And me too.
Yeah, yeah.
So last time I interviewed you,
right.
I told you that we do a reunion every summer. And
I didn't know this.
You had given me information to get a hold of you to let you know about the reunion.
Yeah.
And then they've been harassing me ever since. When's Rooker coming? I'm like, I had
no idea there was a reunion. I would go.
How many do happen every year, George?
There's three or four?
Actually,
during the summertime and also in the in the winter. First Friday in December is when they get together in the Northwest side. Some of the guys that you guarded with during your time there.
Yeah. They would love to see you. So now I brought George because, one, his son Tommy's a big fan.
All right.
But also because I want to make sure that it's no longer, I'm not yelled at anymore at any of the, when's Rooker coming?
You got to write it down for me because I'll forget.
Yeah,
I'll forget.
If we can get it.
I would love, that'd be great, yeah.
We'd love to have you. There's one in July at Castaways at North Avenue. Yeah. I shouldn't tell everybody, like, all of our gigs and where Michael Rooker's going to be.
It's always great to have a line and people cheering for you. I enjoy that stuff.
Excellent, yeah. So we've got some. I'll make sure that we get the information. But you were a guard. You were a guard of the year, your first year?
They have a thing called Rookie of the Year. Uh-huh. So I ended up being Rookie of the Year. And it's, I think it's just simply because I I wouldn't say no. They would just go, do this, and I'd go, do it. Do that. I'd go, do it. And go get that boat, get the boat back from Fullerton. And I'd go get the boat back from Fullerton. And, of course, there's a nor'easter going, and the waves are like 15 feet high. So, and I'm... They're like, well, he's never going to get it out past the breakwater anyway. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And within 30 minutes, I'm down trying to get back in. And they're looking at me like, what the? No, you were not supposed to actually get the boat out, dude.
Oh, they were just messing with you?
Oh, of course they were. Geez. Of course they were. So,
yeah, well, it's dangerous, too, with those pylons out there.
You got to time it just right.
That's yeah, you got to get in between. What were you saying, George?
I was going to say your window in regards to that is only so you've got literally seconds to say yay or nay.
Yeah, you got to hang back for a minute and flip your boat around so you're facing the shore and go for it. And it was like I was perpendicular. I was like vertical coming it was scary.
Well, and that's the thing. I've had arguments with people about whether or not the lakefront it really does constitute being a beach. And now that you live in thank you very much.
Yeah,
and you even live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
No, people are like, no, it's a shoreline. It's not really a beach because it's not the ocean.
No, it's a big beach, and it has all sorts of stuff going on under there. And the barometric pressures can bring the water down in the center and create a thing called the sesh. And you end up with a massive, massive, that's what happened to us, a major undertow where at least 12, 14, 16, 17 people were caught up in this thing. And you're going out there, you're wading in the water waist deep, and before you know it, you're up to your neck and you can't swim. So you're going out deeper. So it's scary stuff.
Well, I for all my listeners who know that I'm a total North Avenue geek, I'm so thrilled that I got to lay that to rest.
Center of the universe,
yes,
right?
Sir, yes, sir, absolutely.
There you go, George. We got that on the record now. And now, so again, officially. On the record officially, no longer my responsibility to make sure that Michael
North
Rooker,
Avenue Beach, center of the universe.
That's right.
See you this summer.
There you go. I love it. So I love to, anytime you're in town, if you have time to join us, I'd love to have you live sometime too. I'm on in the middle of the night. I get the feeling that you're a night owl.
I sleep in the morning, but live is early morning, isn't it?
I'm on from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m.
No, that's
come hang out and play with us.
That's great.
Yeah, every time you sound, just drop in, you just be my co-host or be the host. I'll just sit on the side and let you talk to the listener.
We could host. We could do that. You know,
I love that.
You'll do all the commercials.
Exactly. I'll push the buttons.
Oh, wait. You can say the commercials and I'll mess you up.
That's perfect. I look forward to that. It'll be the Michael Rooker Show pretty late and Patty pushing the buttons. I love
Michael
that.
Rooker Show pretty late with Patty pushing the buttons.
Safe travels, my friend. Such a pleasure to see you again. Have fun at the Walker Soccer Convention, and we will see you again in studio.
Everyone, come on out and have a good time this weekend.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good.
You know what I didn't mention on Friday? I'll tell you something good. I had the distinct pleasure of hanging out with Esmeralda Leon and Elliot Serrano at Belly Q for an exquisite happy hour. Some really good Korean fusion food. Thank you for the invitation, Esmeralda. That was great.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was really good. And then I hung out at the Museum of Science and Industry. Another interview I have to share with you, Michael, if I can figure out how to use the memory card from my digital audio recorder. We got to play After Hours at the Museum of Science and Industry on Friday night, like big kids.
Ooh.
Drinking, dancing, and standing in the vortex, as you should as an adult.
I'm so jealous. That's awesome.
June 23rd is the next big event at the Museum of Science and Industry. We should all go do that.
You down, Paul?
By all, I'm saying all the listeners.
If I'm in town, I'll go.
Yeah, let's do that. It's on a Friday night, June 23rd.
I love those museums. It's fantastic.
I'm going to be out of town.
You already know June 23rd?
I'm in McCurdy's in Sarasota, yeah.
All right, then. Have fun in Sarasota. Well, congratulations. That's your something good. You're going to be in Sarasota on
June. I just know because it's my mom's birthday. That's why I booked it.
So. Because she lives there.
Yeah.
I thought he was trying to get out of town.
Get out of town. Oh, I don't have a present for you again.
Look, time to go. What's your something good, Paul?
I'm glad to be back. I traveled a lot for the last few months. I get to be back in Chicago performing this weekend for my show Drink Date Laugh at Laugh Factory on Friday.
Excellent. And I have some front room donuts for you if you drop me off.
Yeah. I'm tempted donuts for...
Not these. You can't give up front room donuts ever. Next Thursday night, Michael, let's work on getting front room donuts in the studio for Scott Santas, Paul Farvar, and Senator Dan Katowski.
Yes. Absolutely. I've been hearing so much about this place. I need to taste them myself.
Oh my God, they're so good.
It's going to change your life.
They have a coffee shop. So there's the Bridgeport Coffee Shop in Bridgeport. It's under construction. The whole sidewalk is under construction. So you have to really like look for this place. But they were telling me the chocolate donuts sell out like that.
I didn't even think the chocolate were the best ones. They had like so many different flavors that they brought in.
I needed some chocolate, but the cinnamon and the glaze.
The cinnamon was amazing.
So good. So good. Looks like crack. What's your something good, Michael?
My something good is, you know, I really had a great time this weekend with, you know, doing the mermaid thing and everything like that. That was a blast. Kevin Richter, Bill and Wendy's producer, and I will be on air on Sunday from 6 to 9. So that was my something good.
6 to 9 p.m. or a.m.?
P.m.
Excellent. Yeah, that's it. There. Oh, you're filling in for Brian Noonan?
Yes, we're filling in for Brian Noonan.
All right, then.
So it'll
I
be
love
a lot
that.
Of fun.
Oh, very cool. Congratulations on
if
that.
You, if you want to stay up, you can join the fun.
6 to 9, I think I can handle 6 to 9.
Okay, good deal.
Esmeralda, do you have something good to tell us? Have you found an apartment yet?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I don't want to ruin that for you.
I know, I'm crossing fingers.
Esmeralda needs some moving boxes. If you could please drop them off at 435 North Michigan Avenue. I'm sure security will be fine.
Just
mysterious
throw
boxes.
Them at the building.
Yes,
I'll
exactly.
catch them.
Mm-hmm. She needs boxes. Well, that would be very cool if you find a place. What can you tell us anything about the prospective place?
Oh, it's well, it's all new, which is pretty neat.
We like that,
and it has an in-unit laundry.
that's wow.
a priority.
Which
I'm so excited about.
That's a priority. When I was a kid, we had a what do you call it? A washing machine. We had a portable washing machine for our clothes. So there was a dryer that was stationary and had like a little like a...
Yeah, so I have that little machine. Mm-hmm. It's called a Panda.
Oh, right.
And it's a little tiny thing and it just washes stuff and then it spin dries it.
Right.
But it's not completely dry.
Is this like a top, like a closet?
This will be like a proper machine.
Nice. Yeah, see, that's a big step up.
It is. And it's bigger. Much bigger.
Nice. Congratulations. Fingers crossed it works out.
Yes.
What
yes.
area is it in?
The same where I am now in Albany
okay.
Park.
Okay.
So I enjoy my neighborhood.
Very good. And I, by the way, as a frequent flyer on United Airlines, I will not be switching my airlines of preference. I think it was an interesting Twitter storm yesterday of opinion. Mm-hmm. I tend to dress up when I fly.
Really?
I'm treated better both in security and on the flight. Sometimes I do get I don't get an upgrade because I dress better, but I'm often on standby for first class, and I just rather be a little bit dressed.
Did you hear what I mean? Those tickets weren't just people,
right? They were employees,
family friends.
Yeah, they were employee tickets,
and there are different restrictions for those tickets. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if they're kids. I think that, you know, they have a dress code and that gate agent decided to enforce that. I don't, you know, I'm not sure what else was going on.
How old were the kids?
One was 10 years old.
Oh, geez. Might have been a bit much
for a 10-year-old. Yeah.
But then you kind of have to think you're representing.
Yeah. And if I could chime in, this is Derek up in the newsroom. My mother worked for United Airlines. She's actually, my father retired from United and she'll be retiring soon. And I remember as a kid, you know, single digits, even up into 10, 11 years old, having to wear slacks and you know, business pants and a belt and tuck my shirt in. And so it's a fair game.
You're flying with a company, right? That's kind of what
you're
it's
representing the company.
So when you saw this kind of this fallout yesterday,
non-story.
So I absolutely. Shouldn't. I shall cease and desist. How about?
Well, you have a talk show. I think it's open. I think it's open to discussion. But a news story? Nah.
No. Well, it was a passenger who didn't know the whole story that tweeted it out first, and then people ran with it. So
gotcha.
That was kind of the problem. All right, then. There you go. Non-story.
Resolves it.
We shall stop then. Nick D is up next tomorrow night. I'll be in El Paso, Texas, broadcasting from there. We don't know who's in it. We have to figure out who's on the show tomorrow night, I guess.
Yeah, we'll miss you, though, Patty.
I believe Commander Wells will be starting off our show with us live with me from El Paso.
Fantastic. That's going to be great.
He's got a great name.
I'm traveling with a commander, so I better sit up straight. Oh, wait, before we go, speaking of traveling, he called me and he goes, are you checking in a bag? Did I mention this earlier? And I said, yes, I have equipment. And I said, it takes up half my bag. He goes, well, then you still have the other half for whatever you need. There's no, basically telling me, do not check a bag. We need to travel light. He goes, I'm bringing my civvies and my uniform and that's it. I was like, yes, sir. So I have to go home and pack. I have to repack and make some decisions.
Just wear all your clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, mm-hmm. like Chandelier. No, like Joe. I'm, yes. I'm doing the reverse. I'm wearing all your clothes and commando.